What do you want to talk about today? You. Yeah, you decide. Education, what does it mean to educate? That's a cool topic.
What is education?
Would you like to hear that? He mentioned a very interesting topic called, what does it mean to educate? Would you sit in that, or do you want some other kind of topic? Education, in general, is a subject of thousands of books. It doesn't have to be very loud. The concept of education is as old as time. The idea is there that one should learn things, so there's a system to teach it. It's very simple. Let's immediately dismiss the idea of educating the young people, because, after all, that's just there in every civilization. There's a million books already on it. That's not the point. Let's talk about education in the way it really relates to us, who are here in this room. I find in my life, and maybe you'll see it in yours, that education is a continual process of learning that which I didn't know before. A friend of mine said the other day, the problem with one who knows everything is they don't know anything else. We were talking about greatly enlightened souls who seem to be deficient in certain very basic things. In fact, I'm going to share with you the exact story that was shared with... We go downtown every time I come to New York to a little restaurant, and we talk philosophy. So the discussion that night somehow or another focused upon the concept of a spiritual leader, a very highly elevated spiritual leader of a group, who was very satisfied in his spiritual knowledge, and all of his followers were very satisfied in the leader's spiritual knowledge, but the leader felt there was something missing. This was in some group that follows some tradition. I don't remember exactly. I think it was a tradition in northern India or something like that. But the group was centered in the United States. So this leader said, all the time my disciples are coming to me about relationship problems. So they were always asking me about this marriage problem and this personal relationship problem and everything, and I have no experience. So he decided to get married so that he can get the experience required to advise his disciples. Now that sounds reasonable. When you first hear it, it sounds reasonable that you don't have experience in a certain thing that you need to do to advise people who depend on you, so you go and you get that experience. And I, like you, was sitting there in the restaurant going, that sounds interesting. But then my friend said, well, I don't think that was very good at all. And I was, waiting to hear the usual expected response. He said, no, you can't just go marry some girl for experience. You can't come up to some girl and say, okay, marry me, I need some experience. And in fact, that's exactly what his wife, quote unquote, said to him. Said, what's wrong with you? You don't act like a proper husband. His idea was that he was going to just get married, see how things work, and then go back and teach everybody how to do it right. Oh, was he wrong? It seems that his wife got very upset with him, was very disturbed by his exploiting her simply for some knowledge. And he ended up getting in big trouble. And then he really learned the lesson. You can't just marry somebody for some reason. There has to be some love. There has to be some reason to be together that's beyond just experience or an experiment. So his life more or less fell apart because he had made a very serious mistake thinking he could just exploit some girl for the sake of his experimentation. So I think life is a laboratory. And somehow when we're young, we go to school and we sit there with the books and we go with the teacher and all of that. So we understand this is education. Education means from the earliest grade up to the college degree, we learn from others. Then the education is more or less complete. And if you do further education, it's really just to make sure that the specialty that you have attained is at its current level and so on. You're not really doing education. More or less, you're doing brushing up on the latest things and and fine-tuning your knowledge, reading what other people have figured out. Your mentality is totally different than formerly. I think that's the big mistake, that we think we finished our education. We have been educated, and that is it. But life says, no, it's not so. Life is continuously putting us in situations where we have to be re-educated. I have heard from hundreds of parents that you're totally re-educated by your children. My cousin has 5 children, and he said they know exactly how to push my button. They know how exactly to challenge me down to the very core. It's almost as if they're thinking, how far can I push this guy? And he said to me, you have no idea how much I've had to learn just to tolerate this. So children become the teachers of their parents. The parents think the parents are the teachers of the children, but no. Maybe the children agree, you know, to some stuff so that things work out well. But really, the children are the ones who are deciding. They're really, not in all cases. And I'm really exaggerating this just for making a point, but you understand what I mean. Then there's other forms of education, like when you learn how to deal with others, when you learn how to live with others, to cooperate with others. It's a very educating experience. One who lives alone is never wrong. So his life is easy. Because if you live alone, there's nobody to correct you or to bounce off of, or nobody to be insulted or to be hurt or to be demanding. So whatever you're doing, it's perfect. But living with others challenges you. It forces you to understand, if you want to be successful, how things work. So it's a really educating process. Socialization of man, it's called. What amazes me is some people never learn. It bewilders me. I can't understand it. How is it possible that some people never learn the basic fact that they are in a continuous educational experience to perfect themselves in relationship with others? In other words, when you, like for example, that which continually comes at you again and again and again is something that you have to learn. The universe is the very big educational institution. And you will see these things, these events or these conflicts or these situations come again and again until you learn the art. Another way the universe teaches us, through the process of what you resist persists. Those things that you are constantly resisting continuously come and present themselves because they are part of the learning process. It's amazing how the energy of the universe is part of an educational process. That says a lot. Is it possible that we are in this creation just to be educated? Let's look at this from a really different perspective for a second. The soul, the being, is complete in knowledge. Knowledge is part of that being. We know so many things. We just know. Those who are capable of just embracing the being that they are have such awareness, such knowledge, such knowing, such wisdom. As long as that being is in communion with other being, all is perfect. But as soon as being comes in contact with not exactly being, all of a sudden there's trouble. Again, the same thing. What the problem with those who know everything is that they don't know anything else. So as being, we know, but unfortunately, we don't know anything else. I mean, you take being and push it out into the world, it meets ignorance, and being says, it's all right, all is well. Ignorance says, who are you? Get lost. Give me your wallet. And now all of a sudden, being has to understand that, wait a minute, it's not all perfect, wonderful. There's problems, there's disturbance, and how do I deal with it? So you learn a little of this, you learn a little of that, some basic rules, some basic principles. But the problem is every single person is different. Every single person is unique. That means that you have to learn how to deal with each one of them. In other words, education is unlimited. Unless you live alone. You live alone. Then you can somehow avoid, to a large extent, education. Unless you live alone in the forest, then nature teaches you. The bears teach you. The wolves teach you. The spiders teach you. The birds teach you. Because you have to deal with them. You have to accept the fact that they exist. Here's one of the most interesting aspects of this form of education. Just like people, they come up to you and they basically say, I exist, deal with me. In our house, whenever we either me or my wife decide that we're being neglected, we stand up and we say, I exist, hello, I exist. So that means, idiot, pay attention, I'm here, can't avoid me. It's actually a lot of fun sometimes. So the idea being that you can spend a lot of your life resisting this education. You can walk through life and, as far as you're concerned, this is an idiot. You're an idiot. That's an idiot. Idiots. All surrounded by idiots. So you resist everything. Everybody's an idiot. I know some people like that. When they're talking to me, I'm not an idiot. I know for sure. When they talk to someone else, I'm included in the idiot. Then there's that group of people who say, leave me alone, leave me alone. They don't want to deal with anything. Then there is also that group of people who are just feeling themselves so superior to everyone else that nobody should even come near them. They learn through intrigue. They learn through scandal. They learn through treachery. They learn by getting their head cut off. Now, sometimes in spiritual disciplines, it is stated, you have nothing to learn. You already know everything. You just have to simply find it again. And that's true in the sense of being. But this idea of knowing everything doesn't apply when you are interacting with others. People get together and they gather together with these ideals of being in a system which is perfect, wonderful, knows everything, and then they have all these interpersonal conflicts. And the idea is always justified or rationalized because here all is illusion, over there all is perfect. So the over there is what we talk about, and the over here is the fight in illusion, and since it's illusion, it doesn't matter. That's the real, this is not the real. And so the real keeps banging on their door. If we're illusion, why are we banging on your head? So we've been talking about holistic spirituality today. Let's talk in a holistic sense. I don't believe, me personally, I don't believe that spirituality and this existence that I'm looking at, you're looking at, we exist in, can be separated. I don't think there's an easy way to simply avoid the education the universe is giving us by just simply saying it doesn't exist. This is where I belong over there. I think that all of this is part of the package of the Supreme. Now, you can look at deities, for instance, and say, they are here to bring us there. Or you could look at them and say, we are all here. Now, if you look at them from the point of view of saying, they are here to bring us there, then they're basically like messengers, and you don't really think of them as the real divine beings, because the real divine beings are over there, and they're over here to get us to the divine beings over there. Now, you are told that they are the same, and that any other thought is an offense, and that the reason they don't answer you is because you are dull and stupid and ignorant, and therefore you can't hear what they're saying. Now, that idea works. I mean, people all over the world, whether they have a cross, they have a deity, they have an icon, they worship in whatever way, they have that same basic idea. That's the basic idea of religion. And what's really safe about this idea is nobody can prove it wrong. Nobody can prove it wrong that this is all illusion and over there is the place, because you can only find out when you go to that place or don't go to that place. I educate you that this place is all unreal, it's material, it's temporary, and over there is the real, the spiritual, the eternal, and all you got to do is go from here to there. And that sounds great. You can't prove me wrong. You can't prove me right. You simply believe it or not. And so when you come before the deities and they don't answer you, or you think that, you know, you're not really understanding much, you say it's okay because I'm here in the illusory material place. That's natural. Ignorance, it's natural. But I want to see it in a more holistic fashion. I want to say that they are here just as we are here. So far, we can't really argue about that. It's not something that I'm hoping will be true in the future. It's true now. I'm here, they're there. Now, somebody may say, rightfully so, they are statues, they don't move. But I know people who deal with me like I'm a statue and don't move. Human beings are expert at blocking out and ignoring others. It's just the way we are. So for those who think they are statues, they come and they look at the pretty statues and they just block it all out. Now the problem comes when you think they're not statues. Now, when I deal with people, sure, it's easy. I talk, they talk. But does that really tell me about the people? Does that really educate me about what these people are? Sometimes when I'm very cynical, I think, you know, why do I even bother listening to anything anyone says? Because it's not really what they are. Sometimes I just come together with people and feel them. Actually, I do that all the time. But I mean to say, in the sense of just really just experiencing them. And sometimes I respond on the basis of that feeling. And they tell me, no, I didn't say that. I never said that. Because in the standard procedure, you can only know what I tell you. And if you know in some other way, it's not valid because you only can know what I tell you. But for people who are mystics, and if you were to ask me to define myself spiritually, well, I would have no choice but to say I am first and foremost a mystic. And for mystics, what's first and foremost important is energy, the feeling, what's happening. So for me, it's no problem to communicate with you, to feel what's going on with you, or to turn here and communicate with them and feel in that way. Because I don't block them out, and because I don't try to talk to them, it's easy. For those who come to the deities and say, okay, you're God, I got it. And here's all my sins, and here's all my problems, and here's my wish list of all the things I want, and please do this for me and that, and forgive me, and purify me, and love me, and help me, and save me. That's pretty impersonal. Sometimes people come up to me and they say, who don't really know me at all, they say, okay, you're supposed to be some guru, you're supposed to be some spiritualist, you're supposed to be some master, I don't know where they get this stuff. And then they come and they say, therefore you should this, and therefore this, and therefore that. And I say, where do you get this idea? That's not so. And they go, no, it's so. So they come to me, they define me, they tell me what I am, then they start directing me to fulfill their expectations. And then I think, my God, if people do that to me, wow, how does it feel up over there? But then we say, yeah, but they can take it. They're God. That's their job. Well, that's exactly what they tell me sometimes. I don't like it. You know, I don't say it, but I'm thinking, hey, buddy, what about me? Don't I exist? Am I not a person? Am I not an individual? Don't I count? And sometimes I wonder. Of course, they're not like us. Yeah, sure. But we're like them. So if I can feel like this, maybe they do too. So whenever I come to the altar and I find myself defining them Okay, you're God, now listen to this. I got problems, I need answers. And then I feel like an idiot. Now, sometimes I'm freaking out. Now, friends come to each other sometimes in a totally freaked out condition. If you actually are a friend to someone else, if you're actually a spouse to someone else, if you're the father or mother to someone else, if in any way you have some kind of deep connection, you'd better expect that at one point or more or many more, someone's going to come before you who you love, who's freaked out. And they're not coming to you in that same impersonal way to define you and blah, blah, blah. They're coming to you because they're friends or they're lovers or they're related to you. And they come to you because they need help. And who else are they going to go to? So when I do come before the deities in a freaked out condition, which happens more than I'd like to admit, and I come and I say, I'm really sorry, but help! Who else am I going to ask? So this idea of seeing them as people, dealing with them as people, and feeling them, the communication, the mystical communication of exchange of energy, the exchange of that feeling, that's a very beautiful thing. And ultimately, isn't all spirituality ultimately mystical? And isn't it right now that I may have that wonderful opportunity to mystically associate with these unbelievably incredible personalities? Why do I have to go there? And if there is a there, I don't mind going. But I don't have to define my life now on the basis of something over there. It's like I get really annoyed if somebody defines me as an American. Because what does it mean? Okay, I have one of my passports is American, sure. I've lived in America 24 years. And let's say the first 10 or 12 of those years really didn't mean anything anyway. I could have been living in a hole. It wouldn't have made much difference to me. And does it mean I agree with what they do over there? No way! Do I wave flags and cheer for politicians? Not a chance! Do I agree with their policies? Not one of them. So what does it make me? So these ideas we have of being labeled something, of being placed in these situations, and it's all easy ways to label. It's easy ways to identify. It's easy ways to deal. It's making impersonal. Sometimes people ask me, are you a musician? I go, no. And they say, well, what are you? Like, for example, when you have to write down on these forms, occupation, what are you? I have a million things I could put in that form, but, you know, it's only a little space for one word, and I always just put any old thing. So, what am I? I'm me. This is it. What you see is what you get. I am WYSIWYG. What you see is what you W-Y-S. I'm me. That's it. End. Now, if you want to find out about me, fine. But if you want to define me, you're going to have a problem. Because I learned something. I was educated recently. I went through this education process. For years, people defined me. You're this and therefore that. You're that and therefore this. And I said, okay, whatever. Can't do it anymore. I am me. You accept me? Okay. You don't accept me? Not okay. Okay, you may not accept me, that's fine. That's your choice. That doesn't mean I have to do anything with you. At least not voluntarily. You want to know about me? I'm actually very different than you think. I don't want to go into details. I'm a Scorpio. I'm hidden. The Aquarius. I'm very different than you think I am. But whenever that situation would arise before, I never said anything about it. I said, okay, whatever you want, that's fine. And I don't know, one day I woke up, I don't know, months ago, I don't know, this year. And then I said, hey, I can't be what everybody wants anymore. I can only be me. I don't even know what that is anymore. And I find that the process of interacting with others is giving me opportunity to define myself. And now a whole new education process has started. Sometimes I think, when am I going to graduate already? When is it over? When does the enjoyment stuff start? And what's interesting is that when we stop trying to define all these wonderful divine beings, and we just let them define themselves to us, boy, a whole new world opens up. Let me give an example. Would you rather be together with somebody who simply accepts all your definitions of them, or just accepts that they have you completely figured out, and you just go, yes, yes, yes? I mean, whatever sophisticated way you do it. Or would you rather be together with somebody who's very secure in themselves, has their own integrity, understands who they are, and you are secure in your integrity, understand who you are, and you decide mutually with open eyes to associate? Sometimes I think about this, the older form of arranged marriages in India versus the modern form of falling in love. And I actually compare them. There are many interesting similarities. I said more than I said. But so the idea being, let's start with falling in love. You don't really know the person. It's just that you're just overwhelmed by this, like, all kinds of jazz. You're just like, it's just, and then in your mind you say, oh, they're like this, and oh, they're like that, and oh, they're, I had this in my youth. I'm going to tell you, unfortunately, a little bit about me, so sorry, I'm breaking my own principle. When I was, I think, 20, I was living with this girl together, and we were totally in love. And one day, I was just coming into the room, and she was talking to another friend of ours, and she was explaining all about me. And up until this point, I never really heard about me before, so I really wanted to hear about me, because I thought maybe it would be interesting. So I'm listening about me, and I'm trying to figure out who she's talking about. Not one thing she said had anything to do with me as far as the me I knew me to be. Then it hit me. Who is she in love with? You can't imagine to my 20-year-old brain what that did. You just have no clue what my 20-year-old brain felt at that point. I was so devastated, you can't imagine. And from that point on, that relationship went right to the pit. So I was really afraid of this love stuff. I couldn't handle that. That was too frightening for me. So I've seen a lot of people get together, they fall in love, and they stick around. It takes them years to figure out what the other person's really like. And when they do, a lot of times they say, who did I marry? And they get divorced. Now, I'm totally not for arranged marriages, but let's just compare it, just for the sake of fun. I'm not talking about these insane marriages of certain cultures where they marry like a 10-year-old girl to a 50-year-old man simply because she got a good price. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the original form of it in India, where the parents of each child got together and they saw they would be good for each other because they had similar tastes, similar mentality, similar personality. They would be compatible. She knew how to cook, he knew how to do this, you know, blah, 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 the usual junk. And they said, hey, they'd make a good match, they stick them together. Now, a lot of those marriages worked really well. I never understood it until an Indian man explained it to me. He told me, he said, you Westerners, you marry the girl you love. We Indians, we love the girl we marry. Very little divorce. So it's interesting because it's based on who people really are rather than what you think they are. So sometimes I come before the deities. Don't mind me jumping around, but, you know, that's life. And I just observe, and I'm trying to find out who they are. And they let me know. It's not like overnight. It's a little this, a little that, a little the other thing. Years go by, a little this, little. It builds up. You may ask me, what are you like? And if I ever was silly enough to be honest, and I tell you, you'd only know something. But over long periods of time, interacting in all kinds of different ways and having many experiences together, you find out. But then only if you want to. Only if you're looking to do so. Therefore, you know, when Daskalos had his tradition, he said, researchers of the truth. He didn't say, we got it. Here, you take it. He said, we are seekers. We are looking. When you seek, when you look, when you research, when you try to find, this is the process of learning, the process of education, gathering knowledge, gathering information. If you come to the deities with the idea that, okay, I already know who you are, you know, you're those gods, you're God, okay, I know who you are, I know your function. Somebody comes and says, who is this personality? Who is this over here? Who is this statue, Eve? That's what they would say. Okay, he's Ganesh, he's the son of Shiva, he's, you know, he wrote down the Vedas, he like destroys obstacles. You give those ideas. And then everybody goes, oh, okay. If I introduce you to Mahashaya, okay, he's translator and he knows all kinds of stuff about this and that and he works here in the center and you shake his hand, okay, that's it. You know him now. Or do you have to spend a lot of time to understand him? But you wouldn't because you don't want to. You don't care. To know these personalities, you can't just come before them and declare that you're God, okay, here's this and that. You have to seek. You have to research. You have to share. You have to be aware. You have to accept what they're giving. Now, some people have the idea they just give love. So they come and they just take the love. That's great. I do it too. Ah, love. Whew. I love it. It's love, love. Who can say I don't love love? But there's so much more than that. They are actual personalities. We never think really like that. If we think about it, we make it into pastimes. We know them through their pastimes. What they did, like Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, Radha Krishna, thousands or hundreds of years ago, what they did. So we know them that way. I shudder at the thought. I shake at the thought of people in the future. I don't know why they would do it, but if somebody would do it, he would say, oh, that Hari did this, and that is his life. That means all is lost, because that's not me. First of all, I may or may not have done what they said I did. Somebody might have thought I did, but I didn't really do. Or if I did it for a totally different reason than they thought. And maybe I even felt terrible for what I did. What I do and what I am is different. Can you imagine? Like here, Lord Shiva's family. Saraswati is the goddess of learning, so she's stuck in that role. Could Saraswati be anything else? Could she be a mother? Could she be a wife? Could she be a sister? Could she be a friend? Could she be sometimes annoyed and want to be left alone? Or, as far as we're concerned, that's her. You get my point? That when we stereotype, I'm sorry to talk like this, it's just, when we stereotype these personalities, we're missing their personality. As soon as you put somebody in a box, you no longer are understanding them. Even if you think you know somebody after long periods of time, what you don't know is that they change. So you may have them in the box over there, but they may have already moved way over there, and everything you think is irrelevant. We do the same thing with these beings, these wonderful divine personalities, these supremely wonderful personalities. Or should I just stop? It's not. Because, you know, we talked about education. We got through education. And I thought, you know, what could be more important than to learn, to educate ourselves about people? Because they're also people. To not allow ourselves to stereotype others, to not allow ourselves to put them in a box, to not allow ourselves to make expectations. Sometimes we say this person is selfish, or this person is greedy, or this person is kind. So we go out of the way to look for those qualities. And when we find them, we say, yes, it's so. Better to just absorb what they are. Better to just understand what they are and react or interact each time as if it's a new relationship. That's actually the spiritual principle. Ever new, ever fresh. No stereotypes, no boxes, no expectations. Each thing that takes place is a brand new event. My personal discipline nowadays is I don't want to do the same thing anymore. I want to do totally unexpected things. So I've been making music where you expect it to be like this, and all of a sudden I go, boop, or whatever. So I will stop there, and I'm not going to do questions tonight because I've already babbled way too long. And we're going to take a little break, then we come down and play a little without stereotypes. Me personally, I love music that's totally unexpected, that's all vibrant and creative and new, but not so easy to do all the time. It's safer to fall into known patterns. Less chance of coming to the stage of musical terror. But like they say, nothing ventured, nothing gained. Okay, thank you all.